Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey, Drew, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Man, this is exciting.
3 days in.
So did you get that frock that you're wearing for Christmas? Is that where you got that?
I got the shacket.
Yeah. it's very nice. Man, Happy New Year to everyone listening.
2023.
Which means finally, now that you're past Christmas and New Year's, you can finally register for the Idea Summit like you've been planning.
Correct.
Because we're only like 4 weeks away.
It is still time for you to register for the summit.
That's right. Go to ideanetwork.summit or ideanetwork.church/summit.
Idea Summit.
Idea Summit /forward/church.
Yeah. For those of you the last couple of months who've been trying to go to ideanetwork.church/summit,
right.
Kylie reluctantly corrected us and said, hey, you guys are sending to the wrong place. So if you got like a pager or something like that, that's on us. So if you go to ideanetwork.church/ideasummit, you can register there for the 3-day conference. You'll love it. It's in Garland, Texas. Lots of stuff to do there. We want to see you out to the summit.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. Great speakers. Dr. Tony Evans, of course, is going to be with us. We have Robbie Green and David Tice, Alan Parr, Brian Sams. David Barton from Wall Builders is going to be there. A pastor from Prestonwood Baptist Church is going to be there. Lots of incredible opportunity. Make sure you register ASAP, and we will see you at the summit.
Welcome to Idea Talks. This is episode 174. 174 episodes in the bucket. Today we're talking about when good people leave. It's a kind of tragic topic, but one that ministry leaders and pastors across the country and the globe have to address every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, whenever bad people leave, we know exactly what to do.
Goodness.
Yeah, thank you, God. We were praying for that exit.
It was about time.
It was about time. Yeah. But this is not the episode, right?
No.
We're not talking specifically about, okay, when somebody tried to hurt you or split your church or there's been a problem or finally got rid of that problematic staff individual. We're talking about when good people leave. And every pastor, every associate, every single elder or deacon that's listening to this, you know what it's like when you look at the church and you've done everything you can to build it to a specific place under the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly people are going, whether that be good staff. We've had that happen recently. What kind of staff that we've had leave recently?
Yeah, we had Blake and Lisa Hunt go to New Jersey along with Michael and Abby Simmons.
Yeah, those villains stole Michael and Abby from us. Yeah. And now we didn't just lose two, we left four, and not just ministry partners, friends,
right?
Like people that we love. And we already talked about it in a previous episode, the mindset is about advancing the kingdom of God, but that doesn't deal with the practical reality of what about the gaps they leave behind. But there are others that are our partners, that are church members, that are deeply involved and incredibly important. For example, we had some great friends who had to move on from our church, and it's a good thing, but it was a hard thing.
Yeah. Kate and Brandon Snook, right?
Yeah, Kate and Brandon.
You know, they were called to Togo, West Africa, and vital members of our church, deacons, kids loved by, you know, everybody in the children's ministry and all that kind of stuff, but God called them to fulfill their ministry.
Yeah, and so we're sitting there, for example, he would sit on our board, and as a deacon for years, he would speak into things in a very unique way. He had a voice, right? It was a well-respected voice. It was a voice that would not always go with the flow. It was a voice that would challenge the team. It was a voice that would challenge the pastor, but in a very respectful, loving way. And you just don't quickly replace that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you move on? How does a pastor, how does a team, how does a group of elders, how do the deacons move on when you have key star players?
Yeah, we're going to try to answer those questions today.
Yeah.
At least a few of them.
I don't know. I just want to keep griping about it. No, we have some answers. Let's talk about it.
No, I think practically, you know, I think we have 3 points to make here today, but there is that emotional toll. I think before we get into the line of questioning, Especially ministering in a place like Vegas, who is typically more transient, like in its culture, right? So like, before getting to more some of like the structured things we already have planned today, like from your mindset, I guess my question for you is, how do you not become cynical to a certain extent, thinking like, well, eventually everybody's just going to leave.
Yeah.
So why even get close to them?
That's a great question. And it's not one that we talked about before recording. Sure, so yeah. This is, you're genuinely asking, you know, the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn, I've mentioned it before,
yeah.
Really impacted me, maybe top five books of my entire life outside of the Bible. And the reason I say that is because that book helped me stop thinking about this world and start thinking about the next one. And related to this, I think to myself, okay, I'm going to miss Brandon and Kate. I do miss Brandon and Kate. Yeah. I don't talk to them maybe a couple times a year. Yeah. You know, that's it. You know what? That's okay, because we are temporarily assigned to different locations by our master. And then one day we for real are going to spend a lot of time together on mission for Jesus Christ in the next world, worshiping him, celebrating, living in the same vicinity for eternity. So, hey, man, a couple decades of not being with somebody that I love because we're both serving somebody we both love, but then we get to be together for eternity. I think heaven helps me emotionally say, yes, yes, this is okay temporarily because we've got heaven to gain.
Sure. Yeah, it becomes less territorial at that point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
and you'll avoid some of the pitfalls. You know, we'll talk about today. So I like that answer. It's good.
Yeah. What about you? When you have to depart from people, you see people like. And how many years have you been part of Southern Hills now?
So we've moved into Vegas in August of 2013.
So almost 10 decade. Years, yeah. You've seen good people move in and out. Sure. People that you've drawn close to.
Yeah.
Well, how do you guys process it? You and Christina.
Yeah, I think we're very selective of who we let in. Mm-hmm. And I think when we do let in and like they potentially leave, like it's tough and difficult. But to your point, like I think recognizing that people come into your life for a season, for maybe a specific purpose to fulfill, or for you to fulfill a specific purpose for them.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, you know, I'll
That's
be transparent.
That's a really great point.
I've tried to force people into that group, right? Because of either, you know, people that I admire or think that we might be good friends and it hasn't worked out well. Mm-hmm. And then others are surprising and it has worked out really well. So I think you just are really thankful for what, God gives you at the time and the season that it is.
Yeah.
And you try to make sure you be grateful along the way for maybe things you didn't even ask for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good statement. So maybe you're sitting there and say, okay, what are the practical handles?
Yeah.
You're listening to this on the treadmill or you're driving down the road and you say, okay, Josh, Drew, come on. I have good people that are leaving, have left, or will soon leave. What are these practical steps of when good people leave? So let us, like good Baptists, break it down in three points, right?
Yeah.
Number one, mindset to have. Number one, we want to talk about a mindset to have. Number two, mistakes to avoid. And number three, moves to make. So let's go ahead and first talk about this mindset that you need to have when good people leave.
And this is the first point underneath us, which you've already kind of alluded to, is your local church is not the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, from Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. As glorious and amazing as your local church is, and as much as it functions, like the body, of Christ as it should, it's not the final kingdom.
Yeah. When you get that in your mindset, genuinely deep in your soul, suddenly you're like, you know what? It's actually okay. It really is fine because what are we doing? We're advancing his kingdom, not our own.
Yeah.
And so instead of us losing a broader influence in the world as Christians,
yeah,
we are actually expanding the kingdom. So I would say part of the mindset is your local church is not the kingdom.
You are presupposing that there are other churches other than yours out there that are actually serving God the way they should.
Yeah.
Well, so that's a big assumption sometimes.
It's a big assumption. And if it helps you, maybe you can say, no, they're not. That's why we're sending people to help them become like us.
Got it. Yeah. It's actually, yeah. You're the only one and you're in pay. Yeah, I got that.
Either that's, way.
That makes sense.
Either way, you're trying to do something not for your local context.
Yes, I like that. All right. The next point, your church should be a sending church. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to have a good mindset, your church is not a place of sitting. It's a place of sending.
Hmm. Think about the I always feel like I hear this a lot in pastor sermons, not yours, but people that preach. You know, think about The only thing that is something that some stuff flows into it, not out of, is the Dead Sea, right? Mm. And stuff goes there to die. So you want to have this healthy cycle of people coming to your church, getting fed, discipled, growing, and then leaving your church on purpose and on mission, because it's a healthy process for the church to go through. And ultimately, we want to be making an impact, you know, for the kingdom in a greater way.
Yeah, one of the things that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9 is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. And years ago, I realized, you know, there's a dual meaning to this prayer. You can pray, Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest field of Southern Hills. Mm. I need you to send qualified people to help me here.
Yeah.
But Lord, I also want you to send forth laborers from Southern Hills.
Yeah.
I want to be a place that is sending out these incredible missionaries around the world. And so this mindset that you've got to have is, your local church is not the kingdom. Your church should be a sending church. And lastly, when it comes to this mindset, what is it?
You should remember your role as a servant. In Philippians 2, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men.
Yes. If your mindset is that everybody in the world is here to serve me and my dreams and my callings.
Yeah.
And look, let me talk with you pastors, especially senior pastors. I love you, but God has created you as a strong leader and given you strong vision, which is good. The problem is sometimes we can fall so much in love with our specific calling and vision that we think everybody that God puts in our lives are there to serve us to accomplish our calling and vision. And it really is an egocentric worldview. It garners a lot of pride, and it really hurts the broader kingdom. So when you remember, I'm merely one of the servants in the field, and my mission is just one of the branches of this grand corporation of the kingdom of God. Mm. Suddenly you realize, I'm actually here to serve these people, prepare them, like you said, for a specific amount of time,
yeah,
and then send them forth into God's mission for them.
Yeah.
So viewing yourself as a servant is huge, I think.
Yeah. So that's our mindset to have. Local church is not the kingdom. Your church should be a sending church. You should remember you're a servant. Now we move into the mistakes to avoid. So the first mistakes often that people try to have is, you're trying to convince people to stay with you, even though they're on their way out.
Yeah, this is a big mistake. If you have good people leaving, whether they be solid team members, whether they be staff or deacons or great church members, and God is calling them away, one of the biggest mistakes to avoid is trying to convince them to stay. talking them into not following God's plan for them.
Yeah.
Why would you do this? I remember we were trying to hire a guy named Stephen Watson, an amazing minister of God, and we were going to hire him away from Camp Ironwood.
Mm.
Now, what is Camp Ironwood? That's our local camp and yeah, an amazing partner of our ministry. But we saw this person and thought, man, they could really fit well on our team. And we had a staff position opening. So I approached the leader of the organization, my friend Sam. And I said, Sam, what would you feel about me sniping one of your employees? You know, what an awkward conversation is. And he said to me this, is amazing. And what a spirit-filled answer. He said, you know what, Josh? He said, my policy is, when we have good team members, of course others are going to go after them. And he said, I think, and when we see this take place, this is what I notice. If God wants them to go, they'll go. But if they're convinced that God wants them to stay, even if they make less money, and from other people's point of view might have less opportunity, they become more committed to the mission of Ironwood than they were even before the offer. Why? Because they had to turn down a quote-unquote great opportunity to stay in the will of God. And I thought, wow, what an amazing mindset that was. And his mistake that he avoided was trying to not convince them, oh, you better stay, you better stay. Now, if God wants them to go, I think that is a great point.
It's good. And I think it clarifies and solidifies their calling when it's tested.
Yeah.
So the next thing is, I'm sure nobody can ever relate to this, is you vilify those who leave.
Mm.
Maybe they leave disappointed for some whatever reason, or you know, if you're the pastor or ministry leader, maybe you fired them,
right,
in some way, shape, or form. you can try to have this tendency to vilify people who leave your ministry.
Yeah, this is a huge trap to fall that you don't want to fall into. People that walk away from your ministry are not always villains. Mm. And to vilify them in the eyes of your family or the eyes of your church ends up being something that will end up biting you and hurt the broader kingdom. Yeah. In so many ways. First of all, let's talk about those people who might be leaving. And I've said this on the podcast before, but there might be people who are leaving your church simply because they're disappointed that the church has shifted in something that was very important to them. Yeah. Maybe they love traditional pews and now you don't have traditional pews. And here's the problem. Your predecessor actually advertised the church as church with pews, right? Yeah. And so they started coming with the perspective, I want pews in my church. And sure. then you change it and now they're upset, they leave, and you're like, look at these people, they don't care about God. No, they do. You simply offered them pews and now you no longer offer pews. Yeah. They're not bad people. Let them go with God's blessing.
Yeah.
And so don't vilify them. We also vilify people, I think, whenever they just are not a good ministry fit and they have to leave that ministry. And this is really easy to do if you're in a larger church. Somebody gets let go, right? And they need to move on to another ministry. This is a villain. This is a terrible person.
They'll never amount to anything, yeah.
Yeah, they'll never amount to it. But in reality, here's the problem you're facing. Let's be blunt, pastors. They did real pastoral work while they were there. And if you're trying to convince people that that person was a villain, the person who visited them in the hospital, the person that brought them food when their daughter had the flu, and you didn't, you didn't even know their daughter had the flu, the person who spoke with them about the grace of God in their lives and wept with them when they lost their job, that person that just doesn't fit in your ministry, they have to leave, now you're trying to convince the congregation that person is a villain? You're working against the work of God.
Hmm.
No. The answer is, they just didn't fit in this ministry. They're amazing. They need to fit somewhere else.
Yeah.
Don't fall into that trap. Even if they attempt to vilify you, don't try to vilify them. These are mistakes to avoid when good people leave.
Yeah, the last one is, as a ministry leader, is to obsess over the people that are leaving. Hmm. Meaning, you'll never be able to fill the gap that they left. Mm. Or maybe you forget about the people that still remain in your congregation at the detriment of people who left wanting them to come back.
We've seen this time and again, haven't we? You brought up the Snooks earlier.
Yeah.
When they left, we could become incredibly obsessed. Well, who's going to fill that role? And the answer is, I find this every time, God always sends the right ministry leader to fill the spot at the right time.
Yeah.
You have to trust that God is the chess master and you're simply one of the pawns on the chessboard. God will replace them. Don't obsess over those who leave. And instead of being concerned about the church members who are moving away, lead more people to Christ. It just means you have extra seats in the auditorium to fill. Yeah. These are grand opportunities and not something you could be discouraged about.
That's good. All right, wrapping up here is the moves to make. So there's five moves to make after somebody has left that you love dearly.
Yeah, when a good person leaves, here's the step number one, moves to make. You must, number one, validate God's calling. When somebody sits down with you, pastor, listen, when somebody sits down with you and they say, hey, pastor, I feel like God is moving us on, validate God's calling. This moment is not about you. This moment is about them. And for you to make this moment about you steals away this incredible life moment for them where they are talking to their spiritual leader, their mentor, their shepherd, their pastor, and they're sharing their heart. And now all of a sudden you want to, let's talk about this for a little bit. No, don't steal that. Validate God's, I'm so thankful God is leading you. This is what God wants for you, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'm so thankful. Why don't we pray and thank God that he leads you and leads me autonomously and independently, even from one another. And boy, I love you. So the first step, move to make, is validate God's calling. The second one is what?
Strategize and fill the gaps. While it might seem premature or it might seem like they can never have the same gap filled that they left, it is possible to try to be strategic about this. If the people that are leaving are fulfilling a vital ministry function, if they're good leaders in your church, typically they will help you fill this gap. Blake talked a lot about this when he was on his way out about things that he tried to do to leave right. And that's to make sure he trained other people to fill the gap that he left.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing that applies to lay people or people that leave your church is help. They might help you fill the gaps for them.
As a human being, there might be a sense of, well, wait a minute. I mean, I can't start thinking about this. Am I wrong? Like in the moment, friend, every single moment that I'm sitting with somebody who is of a high quality caliber within our local congregation who says, hey, I feel like this is our next step. This is from God. I immediately to start to grieve, but I immediately start to calculate.
Yeah.
This is not wrong. This is your role as a leader. Allow yourself to be a human who grieves, but also allow yourself to be a leader who calculates and strategizes and begin thinking, okay, what's the next move here? And what's the next move here? And what's the next? That doesn't mean you have to share all of that information with your wife and with your friends and everybody else, but it's okay that you specifically are starting to think about next steps. That's not wrong. That's a good situation to have, as long as you're allowing yourself as a human to grieve,
sure,
as well as a leader to strategize.
Yeah. In a professional environment, we do this a lot and it's called the power of three. So in other words, with any role you have, trying to think three deep in every single role that you have. So like if your, lead deacon, if Mike, retires tomorrow, says, hey, I'm going somewhere,
dear
right?
God, no.
Yeah. Who are three people deep that could replace him, right? If your, assistant music director leaves tomorrow, are there three people deep that you're always training and try to get on board and try to train to empower them to be better?
I have never heard that principle before, yeah. Never once. I love that. Yeah. And that's the reality. Our team is incredible, but what would happen if Fred walked away?
Yeah.
Do we have a backup? Do we have a second backup?
Yeah.
And you see this in some of the best football teams,
sure,
don't we? You don't just have a quarterback. You don't just have one pitcher. You've got a bench. And yeah, if you only had one, boy, that's a problem. That's a problem. So good leadership principle. So moves to make: first, validate God's calling. Second, strategize and fill the gaps. Third, celebrate their service. Here's a big mistake, especially larger ministries make, and the temptation is there, and that is to simply let people go without any fanfare. Mm. That's unfair. Here's the reality: they did God's work. Celebrate it, have big announcements, do a party. And I understand the visionary leader wants to say, okay, that was the past, let's move forward. No, stop and celebrate. Bring them on the platform. Your church members notice when important key members have left, like a Jenga puzzle. They need to know that they were valued. And the underlining message you're giving to your remainder team, if you don't celebrate those who do step away, is that they're not really celebrated and appreciated whenever they will go.
That's good. The fourth point is focus on the future. What do you mean by that?
So you can celebrate their service, but once you are done celebrating their service, we're not talking about 6 months of mourning.
Sure, yeah.
Hey, do you remember when Steve and Becky were part of our church? Wasn't the church great back then?
Yeah.
No, we celebrate them. They're amazing. We love them. They're out ministering for God, but the church has got to move on.
Yeah.
Because just as God worked with Zeb and Leah Greenfield, and just like God worked with Cody and Shonda Cool, and God has worked with all these, now God's going to work in the future. So focus the people's mind on the future by focusing your mind on the future. So these are the moves to make.
Yeah.
And then the last move to make, I would say, is maintain the relationship.
Yeah, I think this is something you've done really well over the years. You've already mentioned a lot of them on this podcast, but you don't burn the bridge. Like you invite them back to speak, you invite them back for a weekend, and to invite them to an idea network, whatever, and you want to continue to maintain the relationship even after they've gone.
Yeah, this is key. Look, there are people like Akeem and Jamie Smith that every time Heather and I talk about them and think of them, our hearts are just filled with warmth and love and joy. But if we're not careful, 6 months will go by, we won't even talk to them. And so how difficult is it? And that's not on them. That's on us. And here's why. As the spiritual leader that you are, often people don't want to interfere with your life and you're busy. And even though you might say, I'm not busy, you give off the vibe that you are. And so to maintain a relationship, what we do is we intentionally put in our schedule and in our calendar moments and blocks where we reach out to former mentees, former staff individuals, to love them, to send them. You say, oh, man, if it was real love, it wouldn't be scheduled. I don't know about that. You have a date night because you schedule a date night. And if you don't, you didn't schedule it.
Right.
So we block out time specifically to make sure I'm maintaining relationships with people that we've invested in, that we love, and that love us.
It's good. Yeah, as opposed to, you know, they're dead to me. Mm-hmm. They're not with me.
So correct.
It's a big, big contrast.
Yeah.
It's good. All right. So that's the podcast of When Good People Leave, What to Do, Mindset to Have, Mistakes to Avoid, and Moves to Make. Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.